Welcome to HR Insights, the podcast. Topical discussions with and for our global HR community.
Hi, and welcome back to HR Insights, the podcast with your host, Emily Ramji. This week, I'm excited to be chatting to Mark Delart, General Manager Europe at the Centre for Creative Leadership. The Centre for Creative Leadership, or CCL, is a global research and educational institution originating from the US more than 40 years ago. The CCL specialises in leadership only and is well known for its research, publications and leadership development programmes. The CCL is proud to have worked for more than half of the Fortune 500 companies. As General Manager for Europe, Mark leads regional operations and major consulting assignments, and he's also an executive coach. Mark is a regular keynote speaker and has authored several white papers and publications on agile influencing digital transformation and innovation. He's a global citizen, curious to learn about different cultures, and is passionate about education and about unlocking the human potential in organizations, teams, and individual leaders. Mark, welcome.
Thank you, Emily. Great pleasure to be here today.
Thank you so much for being on our podcast this week. To kick things off, I'm going to ask you some quick fire questions so the audience can get to know you a little. What do you think will be the biggest HR trend of 2021?
A lot of things happened in 2021. I think one of the key trends that I see is that organizations will have more emphasis on the mental health of their employees. And also that organizations will play a more pivotal role in providing that positive experience when it comes to diversity, equity, and inclusion. And finally, I would also like to mention that engagement of employees is really critical today.
Technically, that's three, but I think they are three
right.
important and topical trends. And look, thankfully, all of those have been covered in the podcast. So I think we're hitting the right spot. Mm-hmm. Mark, what was your dream job when you were 10 years old?
Oh, that's quite a while ago. Good question. I always wanted to make a positive and lasting impact on people and the world around me, and I enjoy taking responsibility. So when I was that age, I probably dreamt about being an architect, creating spaces for people to live, to play, to relax, to work. And it turned out eventually that I haven't become an architect of buildings, but maybe more an architect of organizational development, bringing that greatness in people's teams and organizations with the clients we work for.
Yeah, like that's pretty cool. I like the way that you were originally thinking buildings and now it's more about organizations. Thank you. What would be your top wellness tip?
I think that the noticing the here and the now is important for me. It's easy to get caught up so much in planning the future and thinking of the past. And sometimes we tend to forget to work, to focus also on the present. And I think that awareness, becoming aware of our inner and outer world is very important. This will help us to make better decisions, to show more empathy, to show more compassion, but also to become more innovative, to accomplish plans and to liberate ourselves from the many distractions that we have around.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you. That's a really thoughtful answer. And finally, Mark, what is your favorite podcast that you could share with our listeners?
Mm-hmm. I don't have that much time to listen to podcasts, but when I have the time, when I'm traveling, I always enjoy it very much. I have been listening recently to a podcast from the HBR IdeaCast series. And if I recall it well, it was Martin Reeves from BCG who talked about how leaders can encourage imagination in their organizations, how we can cultivate what we can cultivate in children, how we can that also bring back to the business world. So imagination is something which is closely to our language, but also to our emotional world. And there's many ways that we can stimulate it. Through meditation, through sharing, by co-creating, but also by showing curiosity and asking questions. So that's something that was really inspiring. I enjoyed it very much.
I Our podcast today will discuss organizational agility. There's definitely no denying that economies and communities around the world are rapidly evolving. And in order to survive and to thrive, an organization's ability to be agile is paramount. And leaders in HR have a key role to play in this within the organizations that they serve. So Mark, before we get into the main discussion, can you perhaps define agile in the context of the organization so our listeners are all fully on the same page with what you mean by this?
Yeah, thank you for asking that, Emily. Well, agile started as a set of working practices in the software development, and they were focused on ensuring that product development was done in a customer-focused way, so to be more end-user-centric, to be highly iterative. And at the Center for Creative Leadership, we speak about agile for core business, which is in the context of an organization. It's more about applying that agile mindset, the values, the agile ways of working to the organization at large, and not only in the IT functions. And we're at a kind of tipping point now where we see that a lot of organizations or entities are looking at themselves and saying, hey, well, there is an opportunity for us to organize. Is there an opportunity for us to organize in a different way? How can we organize ourselves in a way to get a different outcome, particularly to increase the focus on the external output, but also to be more adaptive, to accelerate, to deliver, and to shorten the time to market. And in that context, agile relates to the new organizational construct, the mindset, to the leadership culture, and to the ways of working, which are meant to create more adaptive organizations that rapidly adapt to the market and that take into account the environmental changes so that they become more productive and also cost efficient.
So look, that's a pretty comprehensive definition there. And it might have partly already answered my next question, which was really to think about why is it so important that organizations become agile? Mm-hmm. You obviously mentioned adaptability within your definition. But yes, just to expand on that a little bit more, if any of our listeners are wanting to think more about the value proposition and the why, it would be great to hear your thoughts on that.
Yes. I think many of the ideas that we have about organizations go back to the 20th century, where organizations were considered sometimes more as a machine. And today, I think we rather see organizations as living organisms. So the classic example of the 20th century is, of course, the industrial companies like Ford and the Taylorization. But today we see that there's more disruptive technologies around, that we have a war for the best talent, but also that information data is democratizing and that trends are more quickly evolving. So all of that is a context which is fundamentally different and which makes also that organizations shall be different. A good example is actually the COVID-19 pandemic. In many instances, it has accelerated the digitalization, which was already happening in many industries around us, and actually is one of those accelerators. And it is by adopting agile practices across organizations that they become faster, more adaptable, more productive, but also more responsive to customer needs. And in that respect, organizations try to be more focused on action, to be less bureaucratic, to have less silos, but also to install teams that are end-to-end accountable, and so they can also use their resources in a more flexible way. And within the current context in business, but also in society, agility means that we are better able to respond to those consumer changes, but also to market changes, or that we can even make those adaptations in a more proactive way. So we are changing, we're adapting then to the conditions around us with a more flexible mindset, and we can better reinvent ourselves with shorter cycles so that we can continue the success that we have seen in our organizations before. So fundamental change is then also that leaders will not so much be that pace setters or commanders of the past, but more creating a purpose-driven environment where leaders are working together alongside their teams, where they are empowering them, where they're coaching them, and also actively contributing to removing obstacles that teams are facing. Agile organizations are actually going beyond also traditional notions of learning and development, because they weave the learning into the fabric of the daily activity so that they become truly learning organizations. They more embrace that culture in which support of learning is part of the working life. It's actually a part of the regular day-to-day operations and interactions. And that also goes through better conversations between people. And they allow to better experiment, to more experiment, to accept failure and mistakes as part of that learning. And the interaction between the people is more simultaneous. And that gives them also an opportunity to learn continuously. So the learning becomes a goal on itself. So by pursuing business excellence, they also help people to become a better version of themselves. And that's where leaders also play a very important role to make that happen in an environment which is psychologically safe. Mm. So and agility, in my understanding, really enhances that collaborative environment. It results in accelerated innovation and adaptability, and therefore it gains competitive advantage by responding faster to all these changes, which can be internal, which can be external. So eventually that they can get their products and services faster and better to market, and that they can better respond to customers.
Yeah, and look, thank you. That's a really compelling proposition in terms of the bigger mm-hmm. picture, looking internally into what, you know, staff, future hires would experience alongside then, of course, what a customer or a supplier or a partner may experience. And I think, you know, at a big picture level, our listeners may well be able to understand, you know, why it would be of benefit to move to a more agile culture and agile mm-hmm. approach to working. But in your experience, working with clients from the CCL on agile, and obviously some of the more research orientated work that you've done, what do you find are the typical triggers that kick off an organization needing to go agile, or perhaps looking at it from a different lens, you know, the symptoms internally that you see mm-hmm. That actually cause an organization to change from a more traditional, perhaps bureaucratic, perhaps very defined structure to move into this agile way of working?
Mm-hmm. Every organization is unique on itself and has a unique context. But I see essentially five types of triggers that can lead to that kind of need to adopt agile in a certain way. Every organization will adopt agile in its own way, but the context might be similar. So first trigger that I see is definitely the competition. When the competition is implementing agile and our clients find themselves in a competitive disadvantage. We mm-hmm. also see that this is also related to cross-industry convergence. So where industries, the boundaries between industries are becoming more fluid. And actually many of our clients are seeing that their long-term plans become more obsolete even within a year sometimes, while before they were used to having this longer planning cycles. The second trigger could be also related to talent. Organizations have more difficulty attracting talent, especially from the Z generation. So these are people that we usually define as born between 97 and 2012. They're very acquainted with portable digital technology. They are actually digital natives. And Generation Z talent prefers a more purpose-driven, more collaborative work environment where they can work in autonomous teams and have a real impact with what they do. A third reason that I see is when digitalization becomes a priority. And you see that, for example, when sales channels, service channels shift to online and organizations need to embrace new digital technology, that's also sometimes a tipping point when they adopt a more agile mindset and culture. A fourth reason might also be that an industry is reinventing itself, and so that you see that the pace of innovation is becoming more important. And I think finally, there's also opportunities for optimization sometimes in clients that believe that through agile working, they can make a better use of their resources and become more efficient.
Thanks, Mark. That gives our listeners some great insight around the triggers. And particularly interesting for me was what you were saying about Generation Z and intuitively the type of organization and the style of work that they're looking for. And if we then move on to thinking about the role that leaders play in Agile, how do you feel that leaders at any level of the organization can empower their teams to operate more collaboratively and autonomously, whether they've got a formal adaptation of Agile going on or whether it's just the start of a journey towards a more Agile culture?
That's a really important topic that you touch here, Emily. Leaders have a tremendous responsibility in this. It all starts with leadership culture, that what we call at CCL interdependent leadership culture that enables Agile, and leaders shape that culture. Leaders have the responsibility to shape that new culture, and in an Agile organization, it's quite different from the culture in a traditional organization. It shows more openness and people experience freedom in an Agile organization. So culture arguably plays a very important role in any organization, and especially in Agile organizations. The culture of Agile organizations has more importance, puts more importance on that creative mindset, that discovery, that partnership, but also the emotional intelligence and associated behaviors. And in addition of accruing new behaviors, also, leaders shall focus more on removing unwanted behaviors and also blockers in the organization. And it is more that unblocking, that removing of friction, what I would say or call throwing off, which are becoming important practices for leaders to foster that new Agile culture. And to shape that culture, leaders must learn how to undertake a more multifaceted culture transformation effort that centers on their own capabilities and behaviors as well as their role models. So according to CCL research, the Agile leader should be able to envision the direction to empower the alignment and to enable commitment. We call it the three E's. So, and that is really what makes leaders effective. And also in the way that they will shape that culture, they will pay more attention to coaching and actually to giving the vision so that the people can and the teams can autonomously be self-directing, self-learning, and implement the direction that is being set by the leaders. So that is what we call also more interdependency, which plays an enormous role in creating an Agile organization.
And hearing some of the traits you were describing there from effective leaders within the context of Agile, mm-hmm. It's interesting because actually, you know, some of those traits, many of those traits to me resonate as just strong leadership behavior in terms of vision, autonomy, empowering teams. So I wonder, from your experience, have you noticed that Agile is something that leaders typically have to learn, or do you think it's more of an innate approach to working, or perhaps a bit of both?
I think you're spot on that a lot of these qualities of leaders are not different from good leadership in the past. But I think the context is actually asking leaders to be more effective at that. So it's becoming even more important to pay attention to self-awareness, for example. It's one of the basic competences of a good leader, emotional intelligence. So that is communication is becoming more important. That's what we call learning agility. That you use opportunities to learn, but also you give meaning and sense to what you learn. So all of that becomes more important. And indeed, within that context of Agile, leaders are facing more challenges. So the challenge is definitely different and more important than ever before.
Yeah, look, that's a fair point. And then thinking about the role that HR play, Mark. What do you see as most critical in terms of the HR function in enabling and supporting Agile transformation?
Yes, that's a very good question. HR is really playing a central role in Agile transformation. We have seen that in the world post-pandemic that there's more need for a shift to a more dynamic, adaptable talent attraction and retention, but as well new work models, where HR and people and cultural leaders play a very important role. I see a couple of areas where HR can add a lot of value in agile transformation. First of all, HR professionals have an opportunity to contribute massively to leading that evolution of their organizational culture. I wouldn't call it a revolution, but rather an evolution by enabling agile ways of working across the organization. Also, organizational models are becoming different, more creative, more adaptable. Agile, in essence, is not so compatible with typical corporate hierarchies and is prompting the growth of networks of teams. So we call it sometimes like a team of teams. So companies become more human, more inspiring, more collaborative, and are more focused on creating an employee experience that is meaningful and enjoyable, whereby purpose is at the center. So it's less about the typical organizational structure, but more about fluid teams that are centered around the specific objectives or challenges. Another area that I see and where HR can have a particular focus on is the shift from performance management to performance development. We will see more short-term and iterative reviews as opposed to the traditional annual performance appraisals that we know, moving away from the more traditional large set of KPIs into evolving OKRs, objectives and key results, not the least integrating performance and development through ongoing coaching and through experiential learning towards staff members. So I see in the future that there will be more regular check-ins, more continuous conversations on performance, linkage of the objectives to the agile cycles, and also HR will play a very instrumental role, not only in adapting and changing the systems and the processes, but also in building the capabilities for that meaningful conversations between leaders and employees. I also think that in the future, it will be important to look into hiring, developing different type of profiles. Talent, sometimes we call it the E-shaped profiles, talent with experience, with expertise, but also emotionally intelligent, who have the capabilities to explore, to execute. And for that talent, intrinsic motivation will play even a more important role in the agile world. We can also think about reward systems, which will have a much stronger team-based component, whereby teams in agile organizations more autonomously decide on recognition. And then finally, I think also the learning and knowledge management will evolve as organizations and agile organizations require more to provide access and resources when people have a need. So also there in the L&D world, I see a lot of changes where the HR professionals can contribute a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hearing that there's many opportunities for the HR function to become involved with agile, mm-hmm. Almost across the full remit of atypical HR team in terms of the specialist areas that you've described, thinking from strategy around rewards, attraction, retention, through to developing core skill sets and ways of working. And as I listen to your responses across all elements of our discussion, there are these themes coming through to me. I jotted down as we were talking, coaching, learning, emotional intelligence, self-awareness, at the level of the individual, at the level of what HR are helping to develop, at the level of the leader, role modeling those behaviors. And again, I feel there's probably many listeners, joining this podcast that even if they're not formally implementing Agile, are implementing elements of Agile, and others that perhaps, have got more of a journey to go. And my final question, Mark, is around, again, from your experience, do you typically find that an organization is either agile or non-agile, or actually is there typically, a continuum that organizations are working along and you might have parts of the organization that are more traditional and working perhaps, in a slightly more structured way, and then other parts of that organization, whether it be a team or a country or a particular function, that are working in a more agile way?
Yes, I think that's a very good question. I see it more as a continuum. That's also what we see in our clients' work. And in some functions, Agile might be more strongly present, and in other functions might be present in a weaker way. Doesn't mean that the fundamental mindset of being more customer-centric to accelerate developments would be different. But it's more about the way that you implement Agile principles. So it always has to be contextualized. And I think that essentially leaders are managing polarities. Any decision they take has pros and cons. And there is no one way to deal with it, but you want to have the best of both worlds as much as possible. So you want to have a risk-averse environment, which is very predictable, but at the same time, you want to be more adaptive as an organization. So you need to find the right balance, how you can do that. And of course, that depends a lot on the function. In a legal context, compliance context might be different than in a product development context, to give one example. But I think the mindset is fundamentally the same. And that's also, to come back to the responsibility, I think that HR has a great opportunity and responsibility to create that infrastructure, to create that environment where Agile can happen.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Mark, thank you. This is obviously a huge topic, and we've just begun to scratch the surface, but I appreciate you bringing your knowledge and your experience to the podcast today. So thank you very much for being my guest.
Great pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If you would like to share any thoughts or comments, you can get in touch with our host, Emily Ramji, at er@elliottscotthr.com. Elliott Scott HR is an award-winning specialist in HR recruitment. We serve the HR community globally and have placed HR leaders in over 30 countries. There are over 90,000 members in the Elliott Scott HR community. Please join us via our website, elliottscotthr.com, or our LinkedIn page. Take a look at the other episodes in our podcast series, view our blog, and check out our upcoming events hosted in our 5 global locations.